Blog Talk Radio.
The door is open, the welcome mat is out, and this is It's All About Relationships on Vivid Life Radio. My name is Edie Weinstein, and together we'll be exploring what relationships are really all about. Sometimes they're light and playful, sometimes messy and challenging. Our guests are transformational teachers and authors, artists and musicians in this realm that makes life so sweet. So sit back and relax and enjoy the ride.
Welcome, everybody, to It's All About Relationships. I'm your host, Edie Weinstein, and I am thrilled beyond belief about how amazing the debut show was on Valentine's Day when my guest was Christina Rylo talking about self-love. And from what I understand, we've had over 10,000 listeners since then, listening that night and listening since then. And all the shows are archived, so you'll be able to listen to them at your leisure. It just is a dream come true to be able to do this because relationships are so essential. No woman or no man is an island. So the ways that we connect with people in the world have so much to do with enriching our lives, and that's what this show is all about. I wanted to tell you a little something about a project that I'm involved with that connects with that. It's called the Positivity Project, and the company we keep has a lot to do with how we do in the world, and how we do in the world has a lot to do with the company we keep. And this is something that was created by these two amazing people, Alan Cohen and Catherine Ponert, I'm assuming is how the last name is pronounced. And the Positivity Project is a way of connecting people worldwide and helping us to think, feel, and be more positive, because that feeds the common soup pot, as I call it. And the company that I'll be keeping is pretty amazing. Marcy Shimoff, Dee Wallace. Most people will remember that Dee Wallace was the mother in the movie E.T., and she's a transformational speaker. Howard Martin, who's the co-founder of HeartMath Institute. All of us will be on this 8-week webinar series that starts on March the 4th and runs through April 22nd. I'm going to be on March 25th. So if you want more information about that, I can share that with you as well. And it's thepositivityproject.com. Speaking of relationships, the people that are my guests tonight are folks that have been in my life probably about 5 or 6 years. We try to figure out today how long we've known each other and how we met, so maybe we can jog our memories. But if you love the music that brings us into the show and takes us out of the show, it was created by this husband and wife musician team, Rick Denzine and Deborah Lee, and the song is called Only You, and it's on they're available on a CD that we'll talk about in a little bit. So I'd love to invite Rick and Deborah onto the show. Welcome, folks.
Hey, how are you doing?
Hi, thanks for having us.
Good,
thanks
my pleasure.
Here.
Yeah, my pleasure. And when we were talking earlier today, I said, we're just sitting at your kitchen table talking. So this is fun. This is going to be a lot of fun. I appreciate
you. We're in the studio right now, and so you're at the kitchen table, but we're at the studio. I like that.
So we're kind of two places all at once. I just want to share a little bit of your background with the audience so they have a sense of who you are. Rick and Deborah are a couple. They're a married couple who are full-time musicians. They're songwriters, and they wrote the song that we just heard, and they're recording artists. And they form a collaborative songwriting duo called the Lyra Project, L-Y-R-A. And they have a new CD that they call LP1. And there are songs on there that create a sonic painting of romantic relationships at various stages. So a real, real, real treat tonight is that we're going to hear 4 of the songs from the CD. And what they told me about them is that they relate to different stages of relationship between a couple. So let's just kind of jump right into it. Can you tell us where the name Lyra Project came from? It's a beautiful name.
It is actually a constellation. And the lyre comes from the word lyre, which actually is an ancestor of both the guitar and piano. And it's an ancient instrument also found in the Bible. King David was one of his instruments. There's a Greek myth about it that the, I think this was Orpheus. I'm not sure if I have my Greek mythology names.
Yeah, he was Orpheus, and he, I think he was messing around with, like, one of Zeus's girlfriends, right?
Why don't you let me tell the story, Rick?
See, it's all about relationships. All about relationships.
Anyway, he played so beautifully that even the trees and all of nature responded. And, of course, women went wild over him. Just like they do today for rock stars. And he really, his heart was broken because the love of his life had passed away, and she was given a chance to return to life. But on her way out of Hades, she looked back, kind of parallel with that story in the Bible where the woman looks back and turns into a pillar of stone. Well, that's what happened to her, too. And he was heartbroken. And he ignored all other women that paid attention to him. Anyway, what happened was women went wild over him and tore him to pieces, and he died. And Zeus threw his lyre into the heavens, and it created the constellation Lyra, which is in the star system Vegas. And so I was really drawn to that story. I thought it was romantic and crazy. And so that's where it comes from.
Yeah, it is, and that's kind of how relationships are. That, you know, they have their ups and downs. They have the dramatic moments. They have sometimes you feel like you're torn apart in your heart, and music so beautifully portrays that. So the CD, the LP1, how would you describe that?
The title is super creative. You know,
mm-hmm.
I mean, it took us hours to think of that. It took us we toiled over that, didn't we?
Well, of course, it stands for Lyra Project N1 because it's our first completed CD. But it's funny, you know, it took us a long time to complete the CD. And I guess it's kind of like, you know, the shoemaker's son is the child without the shoes, you know, the people with the recording studio. But to answer your question, how would we describe the CD? Was that the question? How would we? It's a lot of the songs on it are, like you said earlier, they are love songs that take people through various stages of relationship, and we do draw on our own experience of what we've experienced with each other, and also you know, we've both been married before and divorced, so we've gone through, you know, the heartbreak in past relationships, there's also songs on there that I feel offer a lot of hope and light. You know, there's a light at the end of the tunnel. There's hope, and really, I feel that our songs can lift the spirit. You know, they can take people through a process of grieving if it's a sad song, but then there's that release and of emotion and that feeling of calm and also, you know, there's songs that about relationships at the beginning stages that, you know, that new romantic feeling and good kind of crazy is an example of that, you know, just feel, you know, love.
Do you
want to
start with that? Well, can we hear that one? Would that be okay?
Sure,
that's kind of
great.
Crazy. That's kind of the onset of the relationship when you're just full of kind of feelings.
Yeah, high on romance and sexual energy, right?
Oh yeah, we need that.
Yep. The hormones are raging. Yes.
Okay, so good, kind of crazy, kind of reflects that.
I kind of was feeling that when I wrote that, yeah.
Okay, so we're going to do it now.
Okay.
So we're going to sit back, folks, and listen to Good Kind of Crazy.
I'm sleeping in your shirt again tonight. Two sizes too big, but it feels so right. Close my eyes, yet I'm still awake. Nothing I dream is better than the way you make me feel. Yeah, you make me feel. screams from deep inside my mind. Pause after each kiss and then push rewind. Call to hear your voice on the line. With nothing to say, we only pass the time. 'Cause you make me feel, yeah, you.
Crazy when you guys met? What was that? How did you?
It was a crazy kind of crazy. Yeah, it was.
That was an insane night.
So how did you meet?
Well, I was doing a CD for a small independent record label, and there was a record release party that featured all the different bands that were on this CD, and there were about a dozen or so bands on the CD. And we're sort of all gypsies in the original music world. And so one of the bands that was featured on stage decided to lend part of their time to a young, beautiful recording artist that they had in their recording studio by the name of Deborah Lee. And so, we never met each other before, but I'll tell you what, it was love at first sight.
Something like that.
Was it love at first sight for you too?
I thought he was awfully cute.
Yeah. I was awfully cute. Right.
Yeah. Awfully cute. Still awfully cute, right?
I felt like a million dollars because the music industry is predominated by male rock bands in this particular context, and so most of the people in the room were men. And she came up to me, so I mean that was great.
Ah, okay. So were you?
He was very approachable.
Oh yeah.
He was actually kind of shy, believe it or not. You wouldn't think Rick Danzin of being shy at all, but the night I met him, he was kind of shy. I found that kind of endearing.
Endearing. Yeah, I couldn't say that. Yeah, and you're, for those that haven't seen you, and even if they've just seen the photo. You're a very striking looking couple. Rick, you're what, like 6'7" or something? Are you taller than that?
Yeah.
He's 6'9" with his hair. He's
6'9"
like
with his hair. That's it.
Right. We forgot about that. And Deborah, you're about my height, like 5'3", 5'4", something like that?
Probably about 5'5", close to 5'5".
Okay, but when you see the two of you together, it's really an amazing sight. And you said with the hair, too. And Rick, when I first met you, you had a kind of mohawk.
Show.
back then. I mean, you might have had a mohawk back then, I think, and it might have been a different color than it is now. So
I change my hair all the time. I tip it a color. I do crazy stuff.
He actually sticks out much more than I do. I think I'd have to walk around in my underwear to get more attention than him.
That's, you know, anything's possible, you know. So do you feel like you have that rock, both of you, that rock star persona, that, you know, that stage, you have stage presence, but do you feel like you have that rock star persona?
I don't.
Until they start throwing money at us, I mean, I felt like a rock star this past weekend because we got picked up by our friend Dennis, and we got into his electric car, and he shuttled us down to 30th Street Station, where we got on a bus and we went down to Washington D.C. and we were part of the environmental affirmation there about you know, keeping the environment clean and to eliminate, you know, poisons from the environment. And it was we had the best time down there, and just people were just very friendly. I thought it was great. That was definitely a rock star atmosphere.
We were invited to play at the Earth Day in Philly coming up. That's going to be along the Schuylkill, so it was a real positive time.
Yeah, so shout out to our friends at the Clean Air Council and the Moms Air Force, Moms Clean Air Air Force.
When is the Earth Day celebration? What's the date?
Well, Earth Day is April 20th. It's, I'm not sure of the date yet. We have to get all those details.
Yeah, we'll post it up on our Lyra Project website.
Okay, and which is? What's the website?
Oh, it's LYRALyraProject.com.
Right, so you'll see that. And so for those that don't know where they're talking about, we're in the Philadelphia area. So they're talking about in Philadelphia. So if you are in or near Philadelphia, come out to the Earth Day celebration, and you'll get to see and hopefully meet Rick and Deborah in person. And one thing that I loved about you guys, and I think we met about 5 or 6 years ago, is how approachable you are, despite the rock star facade.
were you at the Alan Cohen seminar in Valley Forge? Because we sang there with Alan. And
that was a while ago. That's going back a number of years.
That may have been, and we still were trying to figure out where we met. I mean, one of the things that I love about relationships are all these overlapping soul circles. So we are connected by a lot of different people. So it may have been through Alan, through some of our spiritual communities. We also realized that we may have met each other or seen each other at an event at World Cafe Live in Philadelphia, where another connection we have is another musical friend named Deb Chamberlain. So she's a, you know, a singer-songwriter. And then we realized that we both know your piano tuner. John Dichter, you know, who happens to be my cross-the-street neighbor's brother. So all of these overlaps. So back to your relationship, because it's so juicy. How did you know that it went beyond, ooh, he's amazing and she's beautiful? And how did it become love? What was the pivotal moment for you?
Well, it was for me, it was in the first, like, 30 seconds. Because she came up and I wanted to ask her if she wanted a beer or a drink or something like that, and she put her cheek right onto my cheek, and that was it. That was,
you know, like in the song Dancing Cheek to Cheek.
It was like, instant. I mean, I fell in love with her like the second I saw her, but that just sealed it. That was it.
Aww. Yeah. So it was music, the glue.
Oh, yeah. Well, the thing is that the music is, like, we both write songs, and for a long while we didn't really go into, like, co-writing, because she was doing her thing, I was doing my thing. And then one day, I think we were singing at The Point one night, and it was a little frustrating, to be honest. The Point was a great club, but there was a lot of distractions in that club. You know, if you're up on stage, you know, they were grinding coffee, and then they had the cappuccino machine, and there was just all kinds of noise going on all the time. And so it can be very distracting for a performer, you know. You're not supposed to be distracted, but believe me, there's a million things you can think of other than what you're trying to do. So we came back from that show, and we're thinking, boy, wouldn't it just be awesome if we could start our own venue somewhere, right? And Deborah and I were just kind of raving on that kind of just for a minute. We got into Ambler, and we saw for the first time, for some reason, it just popped out, and it was the Act 2 Playhouse right here in Ambler, Pennsylvania. And so we turned the corner, we stopped the car, and as we were getting out of the car, the door to the theater opens up, and there stands the owner and the founder of the Act 2 Playhouse. And we told him why we thought we were there, and he says, "That sounds great. Let's get together tomorrow."
Wow.
And we started a show there, you know, and we had our own venue. It was awesome.
Marvelous. So so music, I was going to ask, is it the glue for your relationship? Is it something that you know that holds you together sometimes?
It's definitely a glue, and it's held us together. But believe me, there have been arguments.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and not seeing eye to eye. And one night, I mean, I have this one memory particularly, and I don't remember what started, but it was some nasty argument that we ended up getting into, some disagreement. And one of, you know, the ways of venting that is writing, or, you know, any kind of, I would say any kind of art. But for me, I sat down and I wrote some lyrics or a poem. And I put them on my keyboard. And the next morning, he found my lyrics and the poem that I'd written. And he wrote a hook for it. And anyway, it's a song. It's called Slip By. Mm-hmm. And it came out of a huge argument we had.
And that I took the thing and wrote the music and everything, it just even made her even madder.
But then it turned out to be a pretty good song.
Yeah.
My song.
So...
So from, again, from an argument came creative flow. Yeah.
That's about it. Yeah, I'd say that. That can happen, and I think that can happen if it happened for us, it can happen for other couples.
Well, you know, they say that all truth is truth no matter where you find it, and I think inspiration kind of works the same way, you know. You can be inspired by a lot of different kinds of things.
Mm-hmm. Well, should we have people listen to it now so that they get a sense of what magic came out of your argument?
Absolutely.
What do you think? Ready for it? Okay, let's go for it. Okay.
Okay.
I'm going to play that now.
We touch the ashes of what we love.
24/7. I mean, I know you have other things that you do too. That, you know, that Rick does production and you do vocal lessons as well.
Yes, I
believe.
Yes.
So you don't. You're not together 24/7. But how does it work to live and work with your partner?
Silence.
Okay, you're still breathing. You have
heard
of each other.
Want me to go first?
We might have different opinions on that, yeah.
Yeah, well, you're two individuals, of course.
Well, the first thing is we have different spaces, so we're not actually sitting like across the desk from one another, or like she has. I mean, the first thing I did was I built her piano studio. Even before I built the recording studio, I built her piano studio, so she had a nice spot, and it's, I think it's just gorgeous. It's private. It's got, you know, a large upright grand in there and a student piano. It's got a place for the parents to sit, a place for the students. Even they have a separate area. And so that was an important thing. And she also has a room. We call it the Florida room. It's surrounded. The room itself is kind of like an enclosed porch deal that they put up a long time ago. And it's all glass on the outside wall, so it's you're really kind of in a fishbowl looking out onto this 32-acre park, and that's her space. So she likes to sit in there in the mornings and enjoy the sunshine and look out into nature, and she does her meditation there. And later on, I have an office, and then we built a studio, and so I have a space where I can go to. And so, you know, we might touch base, like right now in the morning, we have a morning routine where we're together for a little while. In the morning, we do a meditation and a thing together. And then we kind of go our own separate ways. We see each other at lunchtime and maybe, you know, while getting coffee or something like that. But pretty much we're away from each other, you know, for during those times, just like any other couple would be. But if I happen to see her, I go, "Hey, sweetie baby." I go, "Hey, doll face." I say, "Hey, doll face." And she goes, "Hey, doll hair."
Because his hair's all bleached out. It looks like my Barbie doll hair used to look.
Yeah, like Barbie gone bad.
Yeah.
So I think it's important to keep the play. You know, you kind of have to be playful.
Humor, yeah.
And have humor and stuff like that. And we tell each other jokes. And she was killing me. She was like, just like before we did the show, she goes, "What the heck are you writing on Facebook? What the heck is this mang thing mean? What does that mean? Why are you telling people wow?" She's like killing me with this stuff, you know?
Yeah, so you have a bantering, playful relationship that I definitely want to talk more about after on the other side of the commercial, which we're going to cut to in a moment. But, and Deborah, I want to, you know, obviously give you a chance to share your your take on what it's like to live and work with Rick. I know it's, I mean, when I've been there, you guys have been, you know, been laughing a lot. It's, you know, I'm sure that there's a lot of that, but there's life stuff. You're real people. So you've got a lot of, okay, so we're gonna go to commercial, and then afterwards we're gonna talk more about the wonderful, amazing relationship that you got. So thank you. See you on the other side.
Thanks, Lee.
Vivid Life Radio will connect you to the most current, optimistic, and inspiring stories, current affairs, and research that pertains to opening your mind. Vivid Life Radio, talk radio that inspires you to live your ultimate life. Go to vividlife.me for more details on all of our upcoming shows.
Hi, I'm Steve Farrell, the Worldwide Coordinating Director with Humanities Team. We are really pleased to be partnered with Vivid Life Radio. Humanities Team is a spiritual movement whose purpose is to awaken the world to the timeless truth that we are all one, so that humanity's behavior may shift to reflect this understanding, thereby enabling a sustainable world of peace, harmony, and happiness to evolve. Please visit us at www.humanitiesteam.org to find out how you can get involved in our amazing grassroots initiatives.
We all need to go out of our minds at least once a day.
Going Out of Your Mind with Ed and Deb Shapiro is a time to put aside your chattering mind and come into the present moment.
We are irreverent spiritual teachers and have a great sense of humor while exploring what it means to live with integrity, awareness, kindness, and humility.
We will be talking with some of the most luminous people on the planet whose lives you would never have guessed were rooted in meditation and freedom.
As well as us discussing some of the most profound and awakening truths.
Log on to vividlife.me to join us. We guarantee you will enjoy this journey to your heart.
Are you a fan of living your ultimate life? Then join thousands of others around the world on Facebook and Twitter for daily inspiration with Vivid Life. Simply go to vividlife.me and click on the Facebook fan box and our Twitter link.
So welcome back to It's All About Relationships. I'm your host, Edie Weinstein, and tonight my guests, if you missed the first part, are the amazing dynamic duo of Deborah Lee and Rick Denzine, together known as Lyra Project. And their website, in case you missed that again, is www.lyraproject.com. So before the break, we were talking about what it's like to live and work with your partner, and Rick had shared his take on it. Deborah, what's your feeling about living and working with this guy?
I really like having Rick around during the day. There's companionship, and also, you know, we've created our own space, and I take time to do things like on the weekends with, especially, you know, close friends.
Mm-hmm.
And so that, you know, that there's some, times where I can just get away from home because we work from home. And,
right.
You know, it's, so that it all helps to, you know, balance things out.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, you know, it's really, I'm happy, you know, to be,
mm-hmm.
you know, in close proximity. Sometimes, you know, being two musicians, there can be, I don't know how to say this exactly. I haven't really thought this through. But, being two musicians, we can have our own. And I guess, you know, even if you're not musicians, you have your own ideas about things.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, we've had our moments. Don't get me wrong. It's not like we have this, you know, blissful walking on clouds all the time. You know, we have our moments, believe me.
Mm-hmm.
And so
what have you, I mean, you've been together how long?
We
5 weeks now.
Okay.
Five or six weeks.
Yeah. We met in 1998.
Mm-hmm.
And 14, I think So I know. Oh, it's just unbelievable. That's a long time. It feels really, it doesn't feel as long as it sounds.
Well, I mean, it probably feels like an eternity some days and just yesterday. So you were talking about the moments that aren't necessarily what you want, you know, the moments that led to some of the songs that you've written. How do you work them out together peacefully? Because, you're still here to talk about it. But what are some valuable lessons that you've learned that you can share with our listeners?
I think when you're co-writing, you have to be able to throw out everything that is not relevant to the song.
Mm-hmm.
And so what that means is that if there's a line that is weak, it's in your best interest to if you're the writer of the line, for example, it's in your best interest to be open to a stronger line when your co-writer suggests it, right? And so that's an important learning thing, and I had to go through that myself because we're all very protective of our creative endeavors, and it's a sign of immaturity if you can't be open to another idea. Maybe the idea isn't good, but you should still be open to the idea and at least entertain the thought of the idea, because maybe you'll uncover something better. And the process of co-writing is really about uncovering those ideas. So perhaps if say Deborah is my co-writer, says something to me about it, it might actually spark me to create something even better than I wrote out of my own head, not necessarily the direct suggestion. Then other times it comes from the direct suggestion. So relationships, in my thought, are really the same. You have to be able to throw out a lot and don't bother with it ever again. You know, you have to be able to have a very short memory. You know, like when you asked how long we were together and I said 5 weeks, I actually believe that in my heart of hearts, that I just met this girl, and just like Kirk was kissing that Neromani chick on Star Trek, remember that episode? Like each day was better than the first. Remember that one?
Right.
So
yeah, okay.
I look at Deborah Lee that way, like, each day is better than the first day, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And you have to be able to forget everything that happened, you know? And if you have the ability to throw away all those bad things, nothing but good can come from that.
Okay. Well, what it comes to is the idea of negotiation, willing to let the other be right sometimes and step back and let the other person shine.
Definitely.
Is that part of it?
Definitely. Yeah. You hit it on the,
I like what other people say about Deborah Lee, too. You know, like there's a gentleman that runs the Adult Contemporary Music Research Newsletter, and he said that his listeners are reminded that Deborah Lee's voice sounds like Karen Carpenter, and he gave a big giant endorsement on her voice, and so I love, you know, praising her because she's just got the most amazing voice ever. You know,
I think the song that he made that comment was one called "Please Don't." And speaking about relationships, this song is. It's about love at a crossroads where there's either going to be a breakup or a recommitment in the relationship, and that's where my voice really sounds like it just turned out like I didn't try to sound like Karen Carpenter. It's just, I guess, some quality of, you know, the vocal mechanism that makes it sound that way. But I think that, you know, there may have been, you know, crossroads in our own relationship over, you know, things I'd rather not mention on the radio, but
we can listen to the song and use it in imagination. How's that?
Okay.
That was good. So you want to play that now, because I want to make sure we get this one and the last one.
Here I am again, wishing I could close the space between our lips for one last. Can't stand one more word. Everything you say still leaves me hanging here and wanting more.
I make mistakes, but I learn from the past. To let my guard down when defenses go up fast. So all I ask, please don't be so angry, baby. Please don't make me cry. Please don't crush what we idealize. For our romance, when your hands in mine, scary how I sense it running down my spine. In love we're fine. We got a choice to break the mold we cast, to recreate some love and this time make it last. So all I ask, please don't give up on us, baby. Please don't quit, let's try. Please don't say the words that criticize. Please don't turn your heart cold, baby. Never go that far. Don't play all the parts where our love dies. It's time to shake the despair, make it possible.
Crossroads too. Is that something that once the song is done, it's almost not like a magic wand exactly, but is the song the medicine that helps to heal the rifts that sometimes occur in a relationship?
I think so. I think songs are amazing healing power. You know, that's why we take so much time and effort to organize them and get them together. And There's some great players on that Please Don't song. Chuck Treese, Darren Keith doing drums on the project. Chell Benner's playing bass. You know, all these guys bring our vision to a level that it's just musically clear, you know. But, yeah, the healing aspect of music is really what music is about. I think that's a major component of music.
And I would hope that others, you know, would get the same healing from listening to it that we do in writing it.
Mm-hmm. So, is that your hope when you write that it's not just healing your relationship or working through some challenges, but to offer that as a gift to your listeners?
It is that way, and I think of sometimes songs like you hear them in your head, and sometimes I wish that there was some sort of a way to connect your head to some sort of a recording device so that
mm-hmm.
you could just record them straight out of your head onto the recording
yeah.
device, and then you could play them for somebody. And because what's tied with the music in your head is the feeling in your heart. It's all the same, and you can't translate the feeling in your heart so easy. You know,
mm-hmm.
It's a real mystical quality. It's very spiritual. It's almost like when you're in nature, and if you see a beautiful waterfall, say in nature, and it's all natural. There's no build up around. There's no cement pylons. There's no railings, and you see this beautiful waterfall in the middle of the wilderness. You have a sense within your heart, and it's called the feeling of sublime. You know, that feeling that. That's what happens when you're writing a song. You have this feeling, you have this idea, and then you try to transcribe it in such a way so that when the listener hears that song, the same feeling goes into them from hearing it. And that is a very difficult thing to do.
It's the power of art, music, and you know, any art, I would venture to say.
Mm-hmm. So it's sort of like if we're in a Star Trek role, the Vulcan mind meld, except the Vulcan heart meld.
It's
from your heart.
Heart meld. And you know, we with our art here, we try to cut our carbon footprint as much as possible in the process of creating the music. We around here at the studio here, we have converted all of our lights to LEDs, which use only a fraction of the power that a regular curly Q light bulb does, or a regular incandescent bulb. So we're doing our part. We've got an electric car on the way here. So we're going to actually get rid of our gas car altogether, and we're going to go 100% electric. So we'll be out on the road going to your next concert in your city, wherever you happen to be. We'll be coming there by electric car.
Yeah, baby. That's exciting. I know one of the things that you had, when you had sent me a list of questions, one gave me a real big chuckle. If they made adult bunk beds, who would be on top?
I would be the last one in bed.
What's that? Do that again?
It would be the last one in bed. So the first one who would go to bed would climb on top, and then the last one. So it would be interchangeable.
Okay. I like
you alternate.
Actually,
oh, no,
this is a double entendre. Yeah, I was gonna say, is this a double entendre kind of question?
Yeah, I like it when she's on top.
Okay, that works. That absolutely works. One of the things that I love about the two of you being around you is that you are affectionate with each other. That when you tease, it's not mean. It's not, you know, it's not humor at the other person's expense, and it's about. Again, you not only let each other shine, but you shine the spotlight on each other, that you're bragging on each other a lot. And it's really delightful to witness, to be in your presence because of that. So that says a lot about the nature of your relationship.
Thank you.
A lot of these songs that Deborah was the genesis, you know, I just kind of came along for the ride on a lot of them, but... she is an amazing, what we call songstress, and you know, she wouldn't talk about this herself, but she's got, I would say, probably better than a dozen songwriting awards under her belt for all different kinds of songs. And we've done a lot of co-writing now. I think we sort of tried to do a lot of co-writing last year and the year before, and we wrote something like 60, 70 songs together in that time period. So this CD. Is only the first one. There's 11 songs on this CD. So we got about, you know, I don't know, 5 or 6 or 7 more CDs that we could do.
No,
yeah, but they better not take 10 years or more.
So here's another question for you about that. That, I mean, you guys are such amazingly powerful manifestors that you and I have had conversations about your dream life. Before we come to the end of the show, believe it or not, we're getting close. Can you just briefly share your dream life together, what that would look like?
Well, we have different visions of this, which sometimes is with couples, you can have this thing called a counter intention. And so when people come together, it's very important to try to get clear on what it is that you really do intend. For me, I love to travel. I love to meet new people. I love to stand up on the stage, and I love to sing. You know, I mean, that is what I love to do. I've done that all around the world. I've been around the world now 4 times doing that, and I just love that. Some of the things I don't love is, some of the non-glamorous things, and people think it's all glamorous, but believe me, it's not. But you know what? There's a certain affection that I've developed toward the non-glamorous as well. You know, it's the life on the road. You know, there's certain inconveniences that you just get used to, you know.
Right.
But I love the moment when you can connect to an audience and be able to win them to your musical point of view.
Mm-hmm.
It's a special moment.
Yeah, so it's a relationship with the audience from the stage and from the CD, that you're connecting with them from where you are. It's heart, again, heart meld, heart, you know, Vulcan heart meld.
That's
so
right.
Perfect. Yeah, how about you, Deborah? What would be your ideal life together?
I would love to have the kind of success. I would like to have big success with this record and with our music, to a degree where we can travel and do more, to have more creative time. And, you know, one of the things that we've talked about is to do a tour with our electric car and maybe do some kind of documentary. Traveling across country with the electric car. We're really, we'd like to make our home totally sustainable and to do more to promote sustainability and to be an example of that in our own lives and to show other people that they can do it too, and, you know, to learn from other people who are doing it more to a degree than we are, and, to have time to do things like organic gardening and, you know, I have a dream of being an organic gardener and my poor plants.
We did this past year is didn't we make that dream partially come true by having for the first time, I built her a winter garden.
Okay.
And so we've got broccoli, carrots, and all that business going.
Well, I wanted to be able to, and I, again, don't want to cut you guys off. This is, we have so much richness to share, but we want to be able to play your last song. So
yes.
I want to thank you both very much for being here. Next week, folks, my guest is going to be Rob Jacoby, who is the author of The Map to Love, How to Navigate the Art of the Heart. So we're going to play your last song called Goddess, and this is about love and sensuality and sexuality all rolled into one. Let's do it.
Thanks, Edie.
Thank you, Edie.
You're welcome. My pleasure.
Feel the passion.
you for joining us here on It's All About Relationships on Vivid Life Radio, opening your heart and mind to the possibilities that are there for you to create a life that is filled with love. Until next week, wishing you healthy and fulfilling relationships and sending hugs from here.
Vivid Life Radio will connect you to the most current, optimistic, and inspiring stories, current affairs, and research that pertains to opening your mind. Vivid Life Radio, talk radio that inspires you to live your ultimate life. Go to vividlife.me for more details on all of our upcoming shows. Are you a fan of living your ultimate life? Then join thousands of others around the world on Facebook and Twitter for daily inspiration with Vivid Life. Simply go to vividlife.me and click on the Facebook fan box and our Twitter links.